GNC 594. It's Tuesday, July 20th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Have I got a great show for you? Boy, I tell you, and it's absolutely beautiful here in Honolulu. More to talk about that. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Honolulu, Hawaii, via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey, everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, you can find all the archive podcasts available via the podcast link at the top of the website. Of course, I want you to take some time and go through the website. We've got a lot of contributing editors over there, lots of great content being updated on a daily basis. And I think if I don't mind saying so myself, the entire team of writers that write for Geek News Central have been doing a really bang-up job, and I'm really proud of them. Traffic on the website, we're starting to see some forward motion, and that's good news from a traffic standpoint. And it's also not only bringing new listeners to the show, but bringing repeat readers to the website every day, and a lot of new traffic as well, which is great. So I want to, you know, if I was wearing a hat, I'd tip my hat to all the writers there. And thanks for being a big part of our super ohana, our super writers at Geek News Central. Of course, if you're a longtime listener of this show or even a new listener, I want to welcome you, of course, as living here in Hawaii, ohana, meaning family or being part of the family here of the Geek News Central audience is very important to me. And I want to thank all of you for being part of the ohana. And I was kind of thinking tonight, as I was rushing to get the show ready to go, we had a birthday in the house today, so I was running a little late, made dinner, got the cake on and everything, trying to at the same time meet the deadline for the show start. My wife said to me, she says, why don't you just, because I normally, about 15 minutes before the show starts, I have everything ready, I run and jump in the shower, you know, just basically to get the sweat of the day off. And she says, why don't you just, you know, you don't have to go, you know, you're running a little late. Why don't you just go ahead and start the show? And I'm like, no, honey, it just doesn't work that way. It's like a game thing. It's like you're preparing for a game or preparing for, you know, it's just something that's in my routine. And she just kind of didn't get it, but it's okay. It's okay. So, got a little bit of a late start tonight, but that's all right. But I guess the main thing is that all of you are here and listening or watching, depending on what time of day you may be catching the show. And thanks for being here. You may be watching the show on replay, and if you are, thanks for watching on replay. I usually let it go for 24 hours after the initial publication of it. And that's why, excuse me, different people in different time zones can catch it when they can. But, of course, I want to welcome listeners from 165 countries worldwide. And thanks for tuning in. And, of course, subscribe to the show. Get over to geeknewscentral.com. You see the subscription button in the website where you can get it via iTunes, Zune Marketplace. I was actually talking with a good friend of mine named Rob Greenlee. He is the podcast manager over at Zune on Sunday. And he was talking to me about what's coming up with the Windows Phone 7. And nothing that really hasn't not been publicly disclosed, of course. But... really, I'm really excited about, from a podcasting perspective, Windows Phone 7, it should make an impact for all of us, for content consumption, for people that get those shows. So we were going to send over a list of, I guess, basically our enhanced shows that we're really watching grow at Raw Voice, so that he makes sure those get on into the store so that they're covered. And we're talking a lot about the changing face of how people are consuming content. And I, you know, it was just kind of related to him, what's going on with this show. Over the last 72 hours, It's been amazing, really kind of watching. We have seen a tripling of the number of people that are watching this show on the Roku. Just an amazing increase, just over 72 hours, a tripling. And, you know, while I never thought that it would make such an impact, it's really showing me that a lot of people are consuming the content in a variety of ways. And a huge number of folks are watching or listening via their BlackBerry, via their iPhone, via their Zoom, all these different, I think we're tracking 130 some devices that are actually able to download the content, Nokia, it just goes on and on and on. So I guess for all of you that are subscribed to the show and getting it automatically, thanks for taking the time to, use the device that you have to subscribe to the show that you use. Make sure you don't miss a single episode. It's pretty amazing. Of course, all of you that are on the Roku watching, thanks for tuning in. And I'd love to hear what your experience has been so far. Been tweaking the Roku video a little bit, and maybe you've seen a little bit of that. But the overhead to do that bandwidth for moving, it costs essentially 10 cents every time someone watches Geek News Central. It's 10 cents. And so it's a huge download. It really is. And it moves a lot of traffic. So it kind of scares me. With more success comes, higher transfer costs. But the way it all boils down. Okay, so anyway, make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter will contain all the content that I'm going to talk about tonight. You'll get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox. That way, when you're listening, you can follow along. And I guess the main thing is that way you essentially have everything that I cover. Even if you maybe don't get a chance to listen right away, you'll have all the links to the content. Going into my list here that I have tonight, just want to remind everyone that have been waiting for the ComSale code at GoDaddy to work for renewals. I've got an email back from my rep at GoDaddy. He says on August 2nd, the ComSale code will once again work for renewals. Now, you won't get the domains at $7.49. You'll get them at $7.69 or $7.99, one of the two on renewals. But we're going to have a new code for the $7.69.com. So I'll have that on August 2nd. So if you're waiting to renew, he's promised me August 2nd for that activation on the new code. So we'll keep you advised on that. But of course, there's lots of codes to use at GoDaddy. And make sure you get over there and take a gander at what they have, because they really do have a lot of different products and services. And you can see Danica for those of you watching, you can see Danica on the front page of GoDaddy. And of course, they're advertising new domains for $1.99. Of course, that's brand new renewals, and this is with a new non-domain purchase. In other words, if you pick something up in addition to a domain name. But they're advertising new.coms at $10.69. No. Don't just, play around with my codes, and you'll get that for probably $7.69 using my codes. But anyway, the codes to use, Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. You can use the Todd code to save 10% on non-domain orders. Of course, you can use the Aloha. That'll save you some big cash. Main thing is get over to my page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check out all the codes. Use them to your advantage, because they're there to save you a lot of money. And I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. You'll find a link in the show notes to the promo code area. Get over there and check them out. I use their products and services, and big fan, and hope that you are too, and their ongoing support of the show. Hey, a little bit of a follow-up on, I told you that my wife's car had been really not broken into, but gotten into, because we had left it unlocked, but her car had been gotten into and some stuff stolen out of it. Well, we've had a rash here in the neighborhood. I woke up, it was Saturday morning, about 4 o'clock in the morning, hearing a car alarm go off. And not knowing if it was mine or a neighbor's, jumped out of bed and run to the front door. I keyed the alarm to shut the alarm off and went outside. And sure enough, up the street, just about half a block, a neighbor's car window had been busted out and the trunk had been open. And apparently someone had very quickly went through the vehicle, then skedaddled. But we had a community watch meeting Sunday, a really kind of an emergency one held Sunday. There's been as many as 7 vehicles in our neighborhood hit. So whoever's doing it, better stand by, because the local police department have stepped up action. I'm sure it's just some kid or someone that's, cruising and using up the neighborhood, but they've been hitting a lot of vehicles. And but stepped it up a notch with actually breaking into an actual vehicle instead of getting into it. I guess they found all the people that left their car doors unlocked, and now we're going to vehicles that aren't so secure. I'm looking for a Facebook fan page manager, and I have an article later in the show today when we get into the tech articles that talks about some things that you can do to really ramp up your Facebook fan page. And if you want to become part of an insider here at Geek News Central, we'd like to manage our fan page at on Facebook and really help me out, I would appreciate it. And just drop me an email. Let me know that you'd like to be the Facebook fan manager. We'll put you on the insider list, and you'll be able to get hooked up with us and get access to the insider info. I'm going to record an insider tonight after tonight's podcast. So you'll actually, some of you will be getting a double email with the new insider tomorrow morning with the show. So I've been wanting to do that. This weekend was spent going to school. I'm in another college class. I've got one left after this one, and it's a math class. I spent about 10 hours in the office over the weekend about pulling my hair out. But it's, you know, it'll be worth it once I'm all finished. So one thing I did want to mention is we're still on the countdown to get the new TriCaster TCDX850. That's incoming. The reason I know, because I got my credit card statement from my business account, and it shows, because I had to put it on two different charge cards. It shows the new balance on this, and I was like, oh, that's nice. So the TriCaster TCDX850 is ordered, and of course the TriCaster studio that we have in the studio here is going to a new home in the lower 48, one of the TPN members, so we're excited about making the trade-off sometime in mid-August. But I've been doing some work here in the studio to kind of get ready for the transition, excited for that new box to get in. I'm going to be making probably a couple of trips to the mainland, one at the end of August, one maybe short trip mid-August as well, so we'll keep you advised on that. Maybe doing a jump out to Albuquerque for a couple of days, and then maybe going straight out to the East Coast all the way at the very end of the month. But I want to thank Jack. Also, Jackie, thanks for your great donation that you sent in on my fundraising for this month. It was greatly appreciated that you did that. You didn't have to do that. But thank you so much for the donation. It really helps. It goes a long way. If you bought something from the swag store, make sure you send over a picture of yourself with the data, or with the shirt or with the mug or whatever. And we'll definitely be sharing it with the Ohana, because I want to see your guys' reactions to the I want to see everyone, the audience's stuff with the cool GNC wear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Okay, I think that's just about it. Oh, almost forgot to tell you, Saturday morning, we had our first CES 2011 actual official meeting, where we met with the folks that so far basically said they're going to come out to the event, and just kind of did an overview of what happened in 2010, some things that we want to do different in 2011, and some stuff that we're working very heavily right now with the CEA, and hopefully can come to an agreement with them here shortly. But very exciting stuff could be forthcoming for CES 2011. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed. And so we'll just keep you advised. And again, we're a long ways away from that. But things are progressing good. It should be a great show again this year. Okay, geeknewscentral.com/offers, geeknewscentral.com/insider, geeknewscentral.com/ GoDaddy. That's all the landing pages to find great stuff. And, of course, I want to call your guys' attention to something that I've been playing with. You know, GoToMeeting's been a sponsor here at Geek News Central now since mid-2005. And you guys know that I use GoToMeeting essentially on a daily basis. We used it Saturday for our meeting. You know, beyond it being easy to use, you know, really, my kids use it. It's that easy. And, but they now have a version where you can take it on the go with your iPad tablet. This is very, very cool. They have built an app specifically for the iPad, and really it makes online meetings even more accessible, than ever. And I was actually trying as playing around with it. I haven't used it on the go yet, but, with GoToMeeting on your iPad, really you can attend meetings anywhere now. And in a cafe, in a hotel, wherever you're at, if you're, you know, you want to slip off to a corner and have a quick conference meeting without firing up your laptop, you know, iPads boot instantly, the instantaneous get into the application, and it really works awesome. It really does. And So here's a cool thing. You can even use the audio through your iPad or you can call in over the phone. That was what I was really surprised about. And so if you want added convenience of being able to use GoToMeeting with your iPad, you can get a free trial for 30 days by visiting gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/tech podcast. Again, a special offer, free 30-day offer. And it's worth it just to see how cool it is on the iPad. It really is. And so now maybe I really will be doing, laying on, you know, when I was taking my laptop going down the beach and hanging out, I would never think about going into the sand area. I'd be up on a, you know, somewhere up on a bench or something. But I feel pretty safe by actually going into the sand area with my iPad, and it'd be kind of cool to do a meeting from the beach. It'd make people insanely jealous. But anyways, check it out at GoToMeeting. All right, let's go ahead and get into the regular content tonight. I got a stack of it here for you. Let's make sure I've got everything that covered that I wanted to get through. I did. Got that done, that one done, done. And again, show 600. Six shows away, so we're on a fast countdown here to show 600. I was actually going to look at the calendar here and see where that's going to fall. Actually, we'll be into August, I guess, for show 600. Again, send your ideas on what you want, where you think the show should go, and we'll take that into consideration. Again, geeknews@gmail.com is a place to contact me, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is area code 619-342-7365. All right, I had a whole bunch of stuff. I actually had to delete some stuff from the list today. But, you know, Nokia has been in trouble for a while. And according to the Wall Street Journal, Nokia is on the hunt to replace their CEO. You know, it's a pretty tough world out there right now with all the competition going on for, you know, in the mobile space. You know, they really have gotten slaughtered by not only Android, but with Apple. And of course, there was an announcement today that Nokia has also purchased the Motorola wireless division. So that's a big news item as well. But anyway, that's the story of the day really here, is that they're searching for a new CEO. And I haven't gotten the full details. I only saw one article that talked about the acquisition of the Motorola wireless division. And I'll get into that a little more. It really hadn't been picked up by many wires by the time that I had went through, because I tried to find more clarifying information what that exactly meant. If that means that Nokia has bought the entire Motorola phone line, it kind of sounded like it, but a multi-billion dollar purchase. I don't know if it was in stock, cash, whatever, but that was on the wires just as I was getting ready to start the show tonight. Hey, over on New York Times, they're reporting that Amazon, for the very first time, has said that they are outselling ebooks, by really a wide margin. Amazon said it sold 143 Kindle books for every 100 hardcover books, including hardcovers for which there is no Kindle edition. This is huge. You know, you think about this. Amazon has been in business, 18 years, and they sell a huge, huge number of books. I think 15 years is how long they've been in business. But if you think about how short of a time the Kindle has been out and what percentage of market share the Kindle has as far as all of Amazon customers, and the simple fact that they sold 143 books for every 100 hardcover books, that's huge. Now, of course, on the Kindle, you can buy anything, soft cover, hardcover. I have a huge collection. I really do. I purchased more books on the Kindle than I have purchased in a bookstore in 10 years. It just, you know, it makes it easy. Going, oh, that's a good title. Boom, you add it to your list, gets downloaded. Whenever you get time, you get to it. It's just something there that you have, and it's available, and they're relatively inexpensive. They don't take room up on a cabinet like I have over here that is full of books. But it's pretty amazing that you think that Amazon's been in business 15 years, yet Kindle has been only available, I guess, for 33 months, that it would really do this big in sales in this short a period. So we'll see how this develops over time, but paradigm shift is big All right, Apple's released the iTunes 9.2.1 and iBook 1.1.1. And I guess it's just this huge, huge bug fix. And this was over on Engadget. And they basically said there was too many bugs to review, or actually too many things that have changed to even talk about it. But if you've got your system set up to auto-update, you'll get that download or not. You're going to be prompted to do that, whether or not you're a Mac user or on the PC. Moving on here, there is, I don't ever remember talking to these guys. There is a company, it's called PixelQ, basic PixelQi, Q's, 3QI display. And I kind of feel bad about this because in the write-up that the folks at Engadget have, they say, if you're not been paying attention to our obsession with the 3QI screen technology, shame on you. Well, shame on me. I don't remember ever talking to these guys. But apparently, this 3QI display, which is not shipping in any commercial netbooks at the moment, but you can buy an actual replacement screen for a variety of netbooks. And this is basically a kit that you would use through MakerShed. You can install this on like the Lenovo IdeaPad S10-2. And what it is this this screen allows you to go turn the color off, and it basically allows you to save as much as 80% on power usage. So if you've got a laptop that kind of just sits and doesn't do a lot, but that yet you need the power of that specific laptop, you want a lower power consumption, this is a consideration. They go through the step-by-step process they went through to change out the screen, and they found that they went from 11 watts down to 7 watts of power consumption. Now, is that going to make up the difference in the $252 cost of the screen? I don't think so. But if you've got a laptop that will basically take this screen, it is a good opportunity to, you know, if you got one that needs to be replaced, maybe that's the replacement screen you buy. But, you know, laptops are so cheap these days, it's almost cheaper to throw the things out than it is to get them fixed. You know, it really, really is. You know, I'm in the market right now for two, basically 1080i monitors. I've got two SyncMaster 215TW Samsung monitors here in the studio that really are fine. And I'm going to have to either put them on eBay or sell them locally or something. They're great monitors. They're a couple of years old, but they only get used during the show because I have to upgrade to 1080i monitors for this new TriCaster coming. And so I've been doing, you know, a little bit of shopping around and kind of, you know, thinking, okay, what do? Do I buy a you know, a $200 24-inch, or do I spend a little more money and buy, you know, replace the 24-inch that's in front of me and use, you know, basically just trying to, you know, make our heads or tails of which way I want to go. But today, the folks at ASUS have come out with their 3D Vision Surround 23.5-inch monitor. Now, it's on the high price end. It's about $500. But this is the first 3D monitor that's really on the market for us computer users. It is a pretty nice monitor. It's got a pretty good review. And obviously, it will handle resolutions up to 1080i or 1080p. And looking at the specs on it, response time, 2 milliseconds is good. But you got the ability to do 2D or 3D on it. If you know, basically if you've got capable programs and so forth. But, this has been announced today. It comes with the NVIDIA 3D Vision Kit that comes with the purchase. So, if you're really interested in seeing what's going on with 3D, this might be the way to go. I kind of like it because it's got a dual purpose here. But I'm not really set on spending $500 for this monitor. So I guess I'll poll the audience. What have you guys bought in a 24-inch monitor recently that is mountable? In other words, you can actually mount it on a wall or on a stand. What is the 24-inch monitor you've purchased recently that has got full 1080i compatibility that you like? You know, what have you purchased for your desktop? I'm really leaning towards some Dell monitors, But the problem is every time I look at one that's actually mountable, and the reason I want to mount them, I'm just going to put them on one of these dual mount stands back here, is I find that, you know, the particular monitor isn't mountable. It seems like every time that you get to a monitor that can be mounted, the price goes up $150. But I guess that's the price you pay to be able to mount them. But what are you guys using for a 24-inch monitor that's mountable? I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on what you're using today. And I know someone out there just made probably a recent purchase on a new monitor. Hey, for those of you up and listening to the show up in Canada, hey, Netflix is coming to you this fall. You're going to be able to stream, and this is going to be cool. So this is big. You're going to be able to stream in Canada. Specifics are particularly light at this time. And but you can sign up now to be informed as soon as the details drop. So it appears that UK streaming is coming in the fall as well. So this is good news for, you know, for those of you that have not had access to Netflix streaming at this time. Big news on that front. Hey, on the space side, Virgin Galactic has made an announcement today. Let me go ahead and flip this over here. Their VSS Enterprise has made its first crewed flight. Now, what they did is on the 15th, they flew with a crew on board. They didn't release the spacecraft, but it remained to the mothership for, I guess they flew about 5 hours. And this was flight number 33, and I guess it's only the third time that the actual spacecraft has been, you know, attached to the carrier. But they basically did a bunch of tests, not only digital data link and that type of stuff, but, you know, basically checking the platform out. So exciting stuff from Virgin Galactic. Now, the question is, you know, who's going to give up $200,000 to go on this thing? That's the question. If I had just a flat, cool $200,000 that I would never, ever miss, I would probably do it. But you know what? I got kids to put through college. You know where that $200,000 is going. And, you know, it's $200,000 that I don't have. So, obviously, I'm not a candidate for this. But some lucky souls are. Those of you that have a lot better jobs than I do. But anyway, so very exciting stuff on the on Virgin Galactic, and but I tell you, it makes you really say, how can I raise $200,000? So, you know, for just for such a short time, but don't you think it would be worth it? Really, you only live once, right? All right, let's talk about Verizon a little bit. It's been rumored, actually, some stuff leaked, where Verizon's LTE rollout is imminent. They've started updating internal Verizon wireless pages, talking about LTE. There's actually even SIM cards. You guys that are Verizon users know that you've never had to use SIM cards, but there's SIM cards that are being kind of shown around too. So it looks like on your 4G phones or with Verizon for LTE, you may have to have a SIM card. So how things change, yeah? But speed and reliability on this is going to be probably pretty good. And I'm excited about it. I really am, because, you know, LTE is supposed to have a downlink speed of 5 to 12 megs with an upload speed as high as maybe 3 megs, 2.5, 3 megs. So I don't know. We'll see. It could really change things. It really could. Now, you guys know I've got a Verizon EVDO card, and you can absolutely guarantee as soon as they roll it out here in Honolulu, I'll make the jump and get it the next generation card. So who knows? Maybe Verizon will displace my heavy use of Sprint's 3G EVDO service. All right, there's a cool article over on TechOn, and it's at techon.nikkeibp.co.jp. It's a Japanese website. It's and this is by Brother Industries. And, you know, every time you hear something, really, Brother has I don't think they've been known for batteries in the past. Maybe in Japan they have, definitely not here in the United States. But Brother Industries Limited has developed a small vibration powered battery that can replace AAA and AA celled devices. Now, what this is designed to do, and this is pretty cool on their part. Now, how many of you have picked up the remote control and had to go find some batteries because the batteries in it were dead. And, you know, for us fellas, when that happens, it's an emergency in the house, right? All things come to a stop. You tear through closet doors. You know, you if there's no batteries, you go get some. Now, tell me how many of you have done that. Went and grabbed some batteries from the store because your remote control's batteries were out. And didn't watch the program you're going to watch. You immediately went and got batteries. I'm sure there's a few of you. But anyway, what this device does is you put it in your remote control, stuff that has very low power consumption. Now, they're saying, I guess from 10 to 100 milliwatts is about the maximum power draw that can be used on this. But it's specifically supposed to go in these remote controls that don't require a lot of power. So you shake it up, point it, and it works. So now, beyond being a couch potato, you will be able to get a little exercise. You'll be able to get a little exercise, you know, shake your remote control, change the channels, you know, change it 4 or 5 times, shake it up again, and change more channels. I don't know how well they'll work, be honest with you, and I don't know when they're going to be introduced here in the United States, but they're going to be introducing these at an exhibition in Tokyo, so we'll see what comes of it. Hey, Alan Buckingham, one of our writers at Geek News Central, wrote up a good article on can Windows Phone 7 take on Android? And, you know, after Microsoft got the egg on their face over the Kin, I think this is going to be an interesting run because he goes into, you know, all the features. And I think we're going to start seeing the Windows Phone 7 probably October, November timeframe. And so he goes down in a piece-by-piece write-up and basically says, here are all the things that are, you know, similar or different or equal based. And on top of that, I'll cover it here in a little later show. They've got an update on apps and basically what's going on in the app front. But those of you that are, you know, loyal Windows users, and I know there's a huge number of you that watch the show that are, what's your take on Windows Phone 7 on what you've seen so far? There's been some good reviews, and Microsoft definitely has a lot riding on this. So I think as content consumers, we're just going to have to, you know, make sure that the phone does what we want it to do. And between Android, Windows Phone 7, maybe this can cause a little bit of shift and change in the way Apple does business when there's, you know, another smartphone out there that may compete. And again, that's yet to be seen. So, you know, what's your guys' sentiment? Do you think Windows Phone 7 is going to make any mark whatsoever? Do you think it will change the way, you know, if they'll, what do you think, 1%, 2%, 5%, 10%, will they even be able to accomplish that? Or does Apple have such a stranglehold and does BlackBerry have such a stranglehold that they won't make any deltas? Hey, there's probably the article of the day I want to link you to, especially if you're a hardcore mobile user, is Gizmodo has a good write-up on the State of Apps report. And it's pretty. They did a nice job with this article. But they talk about the 6 major mobile application stores, 225,000 apps in the iPhone App Store, 70,000 apps in Android, 5,000 in Palm, 2,700 in BlackBerry, 2,000 apps with HP, and 1,083 in the Windows Marketplace. Steps down, of course, there. And of these stores, more than 305,862 apps are available. In the fourth quarter of 2010, Symbian sold 24 million apps, BlackBerry 10 million, Apple sold 8.3 million. It was pretty amazing that Symbian sold 24 million apps. That's pretty crazy. Is that apps or phones? No, phones. Symbian sold 24 million phones, BlackBerry 10 million, Apple 8.3, Android 4.2, Microsoft actually 3.7. So it doesn't actually say here how many apps each of the specific vendors sold, but it does go into talking about the average app price of being like $3.10. Average price for a game app is $1.36. Goes into really all these facts and figures. This is cool. I'm just going to link this up to you guys. Can check it out. I can spend an hour just reading through this thing, and I know you don't want me to do that. But really, I think this sums it up. There's a little quote here in their article that says, apps have become a filter for our world. Through them, we can access information, games, entire virtual worlds, not the internet, nor computers, nor not tablets or laptops, just little programs on our phones, millions of little programs. What are the real numbers behind these programs, and why are there so many of them? So anyway, I have this link up in the show notes. Just a good one. Gizmodo really hit this one, hit this one out of the ballpark. They really did. Hey, article over on Bloomberg talking about Redbox. Of course, Redbox has got to get their game together. You know, many of you, we've got a down the hill from where we live here. There is a Redbox rental thing. Matter of fact, there's two of them now because you could never get anything out of it. It was always empty because people were crushing this. Just was, you know, completely saturated with people getting DVDs. That, you know, Redbox has definitely got major competition with Netflix. And I'll hand it to my son. My son is the one that makes sure that the Netflix videos get in the mailbox immediately after we watch them. His turnaround, man, he has got it down to a science. And, you know, that's a big thing with Netflix. If you're going to be a Netflix user, you got to get them to the mailbox after you watch them. How many times have you forgotten? They've sat there for a week and you're like, oh man, I don't have fresh DVDs. But he keeps the queue filled, and sometimes we get stuff I don't want to watch, so we go back to the Roku, or we actually pick something on demand, or once in a while we pick up from that Redbox. But they're trying to come up with a strategy to stay competitive. And I think they're doing pretty good because not everyone has access to high-speed broadband to be able to watch Netflix videos live on TV. I know my mom, even with her connection, it's not real good. She's got I gave her a Roku. And so she has some challenges. It gets spotty at times. Even on her wireless connection, she is on the country. But they're looking at putting together a strategy to stay competitive by offering a streaming service. And I don't know when this is going to be down the road, but this is obviously not good news for whatever's left at Blockbuster. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Redbox. I think they got a great model. Hey, over on Popular Science, they got a great article here. And, you know, I love these kind of little facts and figures. And the title of this is, How Close Could a Person Get to the Sun and Survive? Hypothetically, of course, if you wanted to do that. And, I just prefer staying right here on Earth. Thank you very much. But, they're saying here that if you could get within 3 million miles, okay, 3 million miles of the sun, it's only 248 degrees Fahrenheit. And current technology and spacesuits and everything will protect you. But if you get 2.7 million miles from the sun, you're going to need to be in a space shuttle that is completely surrounded with carbon heat shields, because the temperature then is going to be up to 4,700 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, they say it's possible that the space shuttle or a ship could get within about 1.3 million miles of the sun, and but you could only do it for about a second, because otherwise things are going to start cooking, and it would basically put the space shuttle, turn it into dust in about an instant. But they say that really we cannot even get halfway. Realistically, we cannot get halfway from us to the sun without in really being cooked, and it's through the cosmic rays and the radiation. But you know, if you think about this, the sun is 93 million miles away from Earth. 93 million. And you think about, okay, I can get within, at 3 million miles, it's still 248 degrees Fahrenheit. That's, that's pretty remarkable, but, that's amazing. It really, really is. But they say if, you know, all things withstanding, we could get about 95 to about starting at the, on a football field, we could get out 95 yards, before burning up, but we could only do that be there for about a second. But kind of cool stuff from the folks from Popular Science. All right. Ex-Vice President Dick Cheney, of course, we heard the news, has been in the hospital and picked up the ventricular assist device. And, you know, it's very common knowledge that he is suffering from congestive heart failure. And, you know, there's a lot of people in America that have congestive heart failure, different stages of it. And I was really curious. I really had not done any study or any reading on those ventricular assist devices. And really, it's a last hope for most folks. And I was looking at life expectancy on that device, and doesn't bode well for him at all. So we'll see. You know, I'm sure he will cause a lot of publicity over this device. But I'm finding, too, that most insurance companies still consider this an experimental device, and people have to pay for it if they want it. But they did say that the quality of life generally is long enough to make the operation worthwhile for the patients, a couple of good years at least on the device. But I'm looking at this thing, and it definitely adds some hardware to your body. But I have this link up in the show notes about this. But yeah, it's one of those devices where you go on it, you better have made peace with your family, and they know your wishes and have all your will in place, because you know, you're not going to live forever on this device. So anyway. Irregardless of how your feelings are in the political world, we wish him well, and we'll see how he does on this device. Hey, one thing that I've always wished is when we go to trade shows, we you know, we have to hump so much gear, and really, I really have to really struggle to think about which bags, camera bags, we're gonna take, and you know, getting them checked in at the airport, and you know, putting them in his checked luggage, you know, all this stuff that we go through. And then we're at the show. You don't necessarily want to carry the bag that you had on the airplane because it's so heavy. Kata, and this is a world-famous bag company for cameras and stuff, has come up with the inflatable camera bag. This is remarkable. I am thinking this is going to sell huge, because what it allows you to do is it's going to allow you to ship in your cameras, and they didn't put a picture on the website over it. Let me see if I can find one. Oh, there it is. Let me bring this up. It looks like almost any other bag, but it's definitely not. And but the reason I like it is that, let me put this up as soon as it comes up. There we go. What I like about it is you can ship in your cameras in all these protected cases. Then you can ship with it these inflatable bags, and once you get to the show, you take them out of your shipping containers, you put it in the inflatable bag, and you really can kind of cover the show easily with this bag. And then when you get home, you put it back in your shipping container, you ship them home, and then, you know, a lot of cameramen say, I'll never travel without, I never ship my cameras. Well, sometimes you just have no choice. But I see guys all the time getting on airplanes with big cameras, but when you're shipping 3, 4, 5 cameras out to a show, you can't carry all those on. And, but I understand $100,000 camera, you probably carry it. Mine are not $100,000, they're $5,000, but still at the show, this is going to make for a perfect bag. So anyway, geeking out on this, and I know it's not super techy for the rest of you, but, very cool. Hey, there's a demo that the Navy, I don't know if this was supposed to get released or what. But the Navy shot down an airplane on the Pacific Ocean using the new laser weapon system. This is a new weapon system that was developed by Raytheon. And this is pretty cool video. They show, it's kind of grainy, but all of, you know, see this drogue come flying in, and you see all of a sudden it's getting brighter, smoking flames, and then tumbling in the air and crashing down. I don't know what kind of energy it requires. I'm sure they got to have plenty of power to run this thing, but, it shows them shooting down an airplane with this, Star Wars is here, folks, lasers shooting down aircraft, and, pretty cool video. So I have that linked up for you in the show notes. There's a good article hear about the New York Times, followed up by a huge number of sites about tech burnout or news burnout. And I know that after having blogged on Geek News Central for as long as I have, that there is a certain level of burnout that you get for trying to stay abreast of the news. Now, you guys know that with the show being twice a week, and not having to write all the time like I used to because I got folks that help contribute to the website, it's really been a lifesaver for me, and also re-energized the website with blog content, where I, at times I was just doing shows and not a lot of blogging. So I truly believe, though, that with the journalism online, the way it is, writers are really attached to computers 24 hours a day, especially for groups like Gawker Media, you know, TechCrunch, all those big sites that are, you know, doing 50 articles a day. Now, I'm quite satisfied with the two or three articles a day that we put up on GNC, and try to tell the guys, hey, write original pieces, your own thought pieces, link back to stuff as you need, you know, need necessary. But I do understand where the New York Times is coming from this. And I don't, you know, some folks have said this was a sensational piece about the frantic world of online journal. It is a frantic world. And it's not a 9-to-5 regimen. And it's weekends and everything else that go along with it. Same thing like running a startup. You don't sleep. There's no such thing as sleep. But it goes into it. How many of you get a little burned out from watching too much news or reading too much news or studying or trying to find stuff? You know, if you're writing for your own blog or doing your own podcast, I'd love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Okay, I got a stack of stuff. I got to pick up the pace here. Hey, the telco lobby loses its best stats as the U.S. falls in broadband ranking. This is a study done by who did the study? It doesn't say who did the study, but essentially what they did, it's called the Connectivity Scoreboard. Oh, it's sponsored by Nokia Siemens Networks. And it basically measures not only raw infrastructure, but it also measures broadband policies and how people are using the internet. And here's the thing that I love the most about this article, and it really kind of really sets in stone some things that I think all of us are feeling. It says, it's important to know, let's see if I can find the section that, let me get this right here. Oh, the deep-seated trends include an inattention to boosting average upload and download speeds at consumer homes, a lack of penetration across the entire country, and a decline in graduation rates, showing a less educated population capable of wielding broadband connectivity effectively as tools. Basically, the U.S. has been resting on its laurels while other countries improve relative to the United States. For example, Sweden's deployment of LTE and improving how business use broadband. Now, the U.S. started in the top spot in 2008, and then as quickly, well, this year fell behind. And but I find it very interesting that they would say, again, average upload and download speeds haven't improved. But I didn't realize that there was a decline in number of graduation rates within the United States. That was a stat I wasn't really aware of. Hey, over on Robin Good. New media site, masternewmedia.org website. He's got this article here on how to create a Facebook fan page guide to the best strategies and examples. And this is the source article I'm going to turn over to our whoever wants to volunteer to take care of our Facebook fan page and go through these steps. And this is kind of what prompted me to ask for someone to run the fan page tonight. I was just reading this article. So I'll have this linked up for those of you that have fan pages of your own. And you can check it out within the show notes tonight. Apple's closing on Microsoft in the revenue race, and there's some prediction that Apple could have higher earnings this quarter than Microsoft. And so everyone's waiting on bated breath. I think Apple is releasing their quarterly reports. Are they doing it tomorrow? Yeah, sometime here. Yeah, they're going to be doing it tomorrow. And then Microsoft is going to follow a couple of days later. So we'll know here directly what the real numbers are from Apple. But people are predicting they could overtake Microsoft in actual gross revenues and profits and so forth. Also, Apple has responded to lawmakers' questions about location data collection. This article that is followed up from what we talked about before. This was over on the New York Times. Let's see if I can make this work. Okay. Oh, no, no, no. Let me do this. Okay. Every once in a while, let me, yeah, there we go. So essentially, Apple responded to a request by a senator, or actually two representatives, Representative Edward Markey, Democrat, Massachusetts, and Joe Barton, Republican of Texas, who basically wanted to know some questions on how they were using a user location. Apple noted that user location information cannot be collected unless a user has the device location service turned it on and has allowed individual applications such as Google Maps or Yelp to use location data. They go on to say, for many users, these settings are set the first time they use a device and application, but not seen frequently afterwards. Once a user has accepted those terms, the company can collect and store the data. It does so, it says, by collecting batch sets of location data from user devices once every 12 hours. Devices with GPS chips, like all recent model iPhones, know their position based on satellite signals and other, and can triangulate their location using data from nearby cell towers and Wi-Fi access points. So it goes on, and there's some more stuff that they have responded to here, but here's the crux. Every 12 hours, if you have turned on this, approved this, the phone calls home to mama and gives them a cache of where you've been. Now, in response to questions about the way Apple anonymizes location data, the company spokesman referred the Times back to Apple's written response and basically said that it's anonymous. They don't tie it to an individual. Okay, whatever. So if you're allowing these applications to call home to mama, Apple is collecting on you, all right? Is that discerning or not? When will be the first court case where some wife will say, I want my husband's location data pulled. I want to know where he was during these last 24 hours as part of a court proceeding and have Apple have to give that up? Really, the article of the night, and this is the one that you all need to read, is a Wired expose about bad connection inside the iPhone network meltdown. And this is about the battle between, really, Steve Jobs and AT&T. Holy cow. This is all over the place today. You got to just go through and read the three pages on this. Well worth the 5 or 10 minutes it's going to take you to get through it. But talk about some serious bad blood. Unbelievable. And it really brings to light a lot of things I wasn't aware of, and it should to you. Now, here's the thing. One thing I did find funny. AT&T had suggested to a staffer at Apple that Steve Jobs wear a suit to a meeting with a senior executive at AT&T. You know what the answer of Steve Jobs was, right? We don't wear suits. We don't own suits. And another thing that they had actually said was that, let's see if I can remember the item. Just, don't you hate that your brain have a brain fart that quick? Oh boy, where was it? Oh, it was a good segue too. Anyway, there's a lot of good stuff in here. And, I know what it was. Did you know that the AT&T board of directors, only a couple of them had seen the iPhone before it was actually announced the first time? Apple did not even let AT&T board of directors see the phone. Only a couple of people had. Wow. Imagine that. That is, to me, is pretty shocking. Imagine you're on the board of directors of AT&T. You're doing a 5-year exclusive deal and you don't even get to see the phone. Wow. What a relationship. A big blog service has been shut down. Bloggerty was set. Basically, they pulled a plug on it. The Department of Justice and law enforcement authorities asked for this site to be pulled offline. 70,000 subscribers were cut immediately. Been a lot of talk about First Amendment rights and whether or not this was a reason why this was. And initially, it came out of maybe peer-to-peer stuff. But it appears, from everything being said at this point, is that it may have been deal with terrorist materials being found on the servers. And also included names of American citizens targeted for assassination. Now, that's pretty scary stuff, right? But to kill all 70,000 websites is pretty drastic. But all these users are basically out of luck. And the operator of the service is saying, not much I can do. They just shut me down. But control your data, back it up, no matter where you're at, because you never know when one of these takedown notices are going to come upon, and you're going to be, wow, you just all of a sudden your site's there, then it's gone. The Register's got, moving on here, the Register's got a good article on the a flaw that could expose millions of home routers, and I was looking through the list, and it's a huge list, but apparently there's going to be a demonstration done here in a couple of weeks where it's going to show how people can easily hack millions of home routers. This is going to happen at the Black Hat Conference in Vegas later this month, and it has something to do with DNS binding, but this is a similar attack to one that's already been known, but this one here is, I guess, going to affect millions of routers, so we'll see how this is going to work, but kind of scary if you think about it, because many of you probably aren't running firewalls additional to what you have on your what you have on your home router. So is your home router that secure? Not very. There's a great article over on Ars Technica talking about, should broadband data hogs pay more? And by examining ISP economics, the details are no. And I want you to check this out. Time Warner Cable's revenues from, you know, in 2009, they promoted their, you know, they were going to go to this 50 gig, you know, maximum allowable bandwidth on their Time Warner Cable customers. Well, this article really exposes Time Warner and other companies that are selling this, oh, it's costing us too much for bandwidth, into a reality. And the reality is not what they're stating. Time Warner Cable's revenues from internet access have soared in the last few years, surging from $2.7 billion in 2006 to $4.5 billion in 2009. Customer numbers have grown, too, from $7.6 million in 2007 to $8.9 million in 2009. Now, check this out. Time Warner's bandwidth costs have dropped. They spent $164 million on data contracts in 2007, but only $132 million in 2009. Also, infrastructure costs have went down and reinvestment in hardware. So, you know how they were quoting, hey, it's the bandwidth. People are using too much bandwidth. They're taxing our stuff. Well, they've changed that to more of a, it's the labor. The labor's what's, you know, because these folks are using so much bandwidth, we have to go out in the neighborhoods. We have to install new gear. We have to subdivide the neighborhoods. We have to install this new stuff. So labor costs are what affecting us on the cost of bandwidth. Well, they looked at Time Warner's cable numbers. Guess what? Their labor costs are going down. Not up, going down. Significantly down. This story goes into a whole bunch more, you know, read the stock report, read the earnings report, and then put it to the logic or put it to the press speak that they've been speaking all this time about, you know, too much bandwidth being used by heavy users and how it's costing them so much more money. And really what it boils down to is the reason they want to put bandwidth limitations on, or that what they attempt to do, is purely by greed. It's greed, 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 greed. They want more money. That's all it has to do with. Cost of bandwidth has went down. Cost of labor has went down. So their two arguments on why they need to have bandwidth caps have been completely destroyed. And we know that bandwidth has continued to get cheaper. I know, especially because we continue to negotiate lower bandwidth the rates for raw voice. And greed. You know. Oh, man. Unbelievable. It really does. So anyway, I have this up in the show notes. You guys can check. You got to read the whole article here. And I'll just put it, Time Warner Greed, on the show notes so you guys can find it easily. Once you go through this, I'd love to hear your feedback on this whole article. Just really puts the cable companies in light of what they're really trying to accomplish with, you know, all the talk about in the past, at least with bandwidth caps. Hopefully this type of data will allow educated consumers to go back and say, well, what are you saying here? Your, you know, financial numbers don't say what you're trying to say, or it doesn't sell what you're trying to say. So anyway, I have that link up in the show notes for you. Moving on. Hey, if you did peer-to-peer on Hurt Locker or Far Cry, I'm sorry, you are probably going to be sued. Apparently, this company, this law firm, is hiring a whole bunch of smaller firms around the United States to get actions underway. They say their goal is to sue every single person that downloaded Hurt Locker or Far Cry illegally. And, you know, this has been in the news a lot with the EFF and NAACP, NAACP going, you know, and filing briefs. And there's a letter that's going to be going to the violators initially talking about what they can and what their rights are and so forth. But it's going to get ugly here next month. You know, the RIAA obviously didn't learn. You know, they spent millions of dollars on lawyers and got just about this much money. So it's just one thing is another. How long before these folks learn too? We'll see. They're being pretty aggressive. All right, new Windows shortcut, zero-day exploit confirmed, and be careful who you share USB sticks with. More viruses are being transferred these days on USB sticks, and you may get one from a buddy, and you never know where it's come. And please, if you find a USB stick on the ground, don't pick it up. Don't stick it in a laptop. Leave it. That is like a loaded gun. USB sticks, they are dangerous, 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 dangerous. Only buy from reliable sources. Don't buy bulk. You know, buy it. Even then, you're not 100%. Scan your USB sticks when you first get them. Please, 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 because this is where a lot of viruses are being spread. Got a couple of articles about bogus reviewers. I have that linked up in the show notes. A pretty cool medical article about pain relief implant and how it's being controlled now by an app on an iPhone, and how basically pain management is being applied now in new ways. Some pretty exciting stuff. Good article over on CNET talking about how Honda is going to be rolling out a plug-in hybrid car in 2013. So, you know, I like what Honda does, and I'm sure they're going to be rolling out a large number of green vehicles. So we'll see what happens with this, but this will be their first purely plug-in hybrid vehicle that is completely 100% electric and have basically a range of about 37 miles. How many of you could get back and forth from where you live to where you work 37 miles? Does that work? You know, I can't go downtown to Honolulu and back 37 miles. I'd have to find a place to plug in. And it's hard enough to find parking. Imagine finding a place that let me charge my car. Okay, Boxy is almost ready. There is a, you know, I have to, one thing I do have to criticize the team at Boxy just a little bit. And, you know, there's so much anticipation built up about the Boxy release. Over at eHome Upgrade, they basically showed the Boxy box, the production Boxy box, and it was basically shown by one of their key developers or designers, and I guess it's the chief product officer. And, you know, they've got such a great product that's going to be coming to market, and I understand his enthusiasm, but they could have really done a better job at introducing this. I guess, you know, a young company, they're hip. This is kind of the way things are done. I think it's cool, but you know, these guys are under a lot of pressure. They're under extreme, you know, Google TV. Roku's got a head start on them. They're under a lot of pressure to do things in a big way. And believe me, I want them to succeed. I want them to sell millions of units. But I really wish they would have had a more formal, you know, kind of a, you know, jazzed up, you know, take a card out of Apple's playbook and doing announcements. You know, it's a good strategy to, you know, really get people hyped up and ready to go. And they could have really done a little better job at it, I guess. But again, I remain a big fan, and it's the way they did it, and we'll live with it. But am I wrong? Am I wrong in thinking they should have jazzed it up? Or you guys think it was perfectly fine the way they introduced the final version of their production box? Love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. All right, I got to hurry up here. Getting Lost with Google Maps is a good article in the UK about how Street Views, essentially the NavTech satellite systems, they're not updating the data from Telestar or TeleAtlas, and people are having some major issues. Even after people are reporting problems with maps. Are you guys finding that when you're driving around with your GPS? Also, Intel, they've introduced a 6-core machine. Pretty exciting stuff. I don't know if you guys are into cores. I am. More cores, the better. So they've introduced that today. And, of course, the Information Week article on Nokia Symbian's to buy Motorola unit for $1.2 billion. I have that in the show notes. And the most disturbing article of today is of a companies that all they do all day long is basically review stuff that have been submitted to a variety of websites. And this has got to be a job where you're going to have on-site counselors. Some of the craziest stuff these people have to see. You have to have pretty thick skin to have one of these jobs. Imagine looking at images all day long that have been uploaded to social media sites to make sure that they're not violating laws, or, you know, it's pretty scary what these folks are having to review and see. Two or three articles here from Tech Dirt. One about the Times, London Times, having only 15,000 people sign up for the paper. I actually thought that was a pretty good number for the first couple of weeks of business. And talking about some articles about long and short form content. But the last article of the night is talking about vaccination patches and how it could make immunizations painless. So I think I'll take the shot. I don't know if I want anything sticking to my skin that would deliver an immunization, but probably good for kids. We'll see how this makes it to market, whether or not it gets much acceptance or not. But it's the new patch is coated with 100 microneedles that are shorter than a nickel's thickness. Why don't we just get jabbed? Isn't that easier? Really? So I had a lot of content tonight, take kind of a more relaxed approach to the show. Obviously, I came up short on time here for getting through everything. My apologies, but I had already trimmed it down like 20 articles. So let me go ahead and get into the... I got one voicemail for you tonight. Again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Here comes the... Let me turn the volume up on this so that y'all can hear it. And this is from Brian, one of our contributors from time to time, and you guys will recognize the voice immediately. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. Brian in Brooklyn. I wanted to share something with you, a product that I found that is simply amazing, but I seem like I might have a little bit of an issue with my microphone. I'm holding it on the lower left edge here, and it seems like it's... let me get a piece of duct tape and see if that... if I put that there, let me see if that... Yeah,
there you go.
Okay. So my quest for this product began when I was renting our apartment downstairs. I told the girl that was going to be moving in that I would include free Wi-Fi. I have a lot of bandwidth, not really a big issue, but I told her, look, you can use the Wi-Fi for email, web browsing, but no streaming or downloading music and video. If you want to do that, get your own connection. She says, okay, great. A couple weeks later, bumping to her, she says, oh, hey, by the way, you know, I watched a movie online on Netflix and the connection worked fine. Okay, we got a problem. I want to give the tenant the free Wi-Fi. It's right. A nice perk. Lets me charge a little more rent. But I'm not going to give her a big fat bite for video. I mean, if I was going to do that, I'd have to charge a lot more.
Right.
So how am I going to limit her or restrict her from watching video? Best thing I can come up with, if I can limit her download speed to, say, 256, maybe 128K. but how am I going to do that? I can't find anything on a consumer level sold in the United States that'll allow you to completely control the bandwidth. Maybe you can flash a third-party firmware on a router, but even that's not clear. I'm not going to set up commercial gear or run a Linux box, complicate the network, use all that additional power. I eventually find this company, Open Mesh. Now, these little routers, actually called mini routers.
Yep.
Simply amazing. $40. No, actually, $20 if you got your own power supply or wall wart. Now, the way these things work is you connect the first one or the initial one to your network wired, either directly into your modem or, which is what I do, is hook it into my existing router. I use my D-Link wireless, and for me, the mini router for the tenant. But once you have one of these things hooked in, you can add as many as you want. I mean, in theory, you could get across town with these things. They say every 50 to 150 feet. Obviously, there's going to be a limit at some point. But very easy, mindless, to extend your network. But each one lets you set two SSIDs, one private, one public. Public can be encrypted or not. I give 56K to the neighborhood. Gratis. Unencrypted. Oh. Let you set on each one a landing page before you go to the web. In my case, mine is my my website that everyone has to go to before they can get online. The best part, very simple, little slider, download speed, upload speed.
Nice.
Got a kid or a roommate that's a bandwidth hog? Slide them back to 56K. That'll fix that problem.
Absolutely.
And the way that you manage this, your network, you don't have to be directly connected to your network. You can log in from anywhere into the server, and you can see all your routers, or whether you got one or 10. Manage each one individually. You can see how many clients are on each one, who's using how much bandwidth, restrict that user by MAC address if you want. It's great. I cannot recommend this product enough. I've never seen anything with this much functionality, quality, at a price like that. Amazing. Check it out. Open Mesh. Aloha.
Hey, aloha. What's the reaction been in the neighborhood? You got to tell me more, because did she figure out that she can't stream a video off of Netflix anymore? One thing's for sure. She'd probably be going and buying her own internet connection, I would think, wouldn't she? 56K. Give them modem speeds. That's a beautiful thing, you know, bring them back to the, well, not, you know, some of you are still on dial-up, so I shouldn't say dark ages, because some of you are stuck on dial-up with no choice, with no other choices, so it's not fair to say that, but yeah, I'll definitely be checking out Mesh, and Brian provided the links to the content, so or actually to the website, so I'll have that up for you. Great price, too. Hey, got an email from Trucker Tom saying, hey, Todd, Netflix launched streaming video services in Canada. Yeah, covered it earlier in the show, Tom. Thanks for that. I appreciate you giving me that info. Also, personal power energy device feeds from human movement. And this is a little bit different than the Brother product. This is out of a company out of Tremont Electric. Actually, that's the name of the company. Tremont Electric developed a tool that only solves a problem. What problem is that? Oh, a cell phone or battery dies at the worst time. So this is a Earth-friendly product out of Cleveland. And we'll have the link up to that in the show notes. It's called N-Power Peg. And we'll check that out. And Peg works with this. Anyway, pretty cool stuff, Tom. I didn't go actually to the article. I was reading through your notes here on this. But the N-Power Peg, $150. But I have the link up for all the HANA in the show notes. Got an email here from Jason. He says, hey, Jason, absolutely. You sent me this stuff for the Ohana store. I'll get this ordered for you. Thanks for sending that to me. I appreciate it. I'll get this ordered for you tomorrow and get this up to you in Ontario, okay? Last article. Let me look at the date on this. Yeah, it was the one about the WordPress host that was shut down that had 73,000 blogs. And, of course, I thank Jack already for his contribution. And I guess that's it. That's all the content I have for tonight. Right on time, I guess, for wrapping the show up here. As always, folks, remember you can write the show at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. How many of you that were watching the video today noticed a little bit difference behind me? Did you guys notice? Does it a little better? This part of the general house cleaning I did here, and got some wires hid and, you know, did some of that stuff. But anyway, hey, for the rest of you, thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being here. And kind of a even pace show tonight. Hope I didn't rant on stuff too long. But tell your friends and neighbors about the show. Of course, don't forget our sponsors. Pick up some products over at GoDaddy. Anytime you use our promo codes, we're greatly appreciated. Of course, share those with your friends and neighbors as well. And those of you that are on the Roku, thanks for hanging out with me here for the last hour and 15 minutes. But until Friday, everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.